You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Boston Red Sox seem to take a Garrett Crochet off day and turn it into an otherwise very impressive victory. The offense that I referred to as limp scores double-digit runs for the second time in 3 games as the Red Sox defeat the Cincinnati Reds 13-6. Their record so far on the year stands at 42 wins, 44 losses. I'm Nick the Voice, joined by Mark Chikaris and Chris Felico, and we are the Bastards of Boston. And remember, if you want more, you can go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com to read great articles posted just about every day. Now, there's a lot to talk about this game. This was a fun one. That first inning was absolutely massive, and there was a bit of pessimism in the back of my head where I was thinking, okay, if this kid doesn't tip his pitches, which is obviously what was happening to Chase Burns, we probably lose this game, until that beautiful eighth inning with the Willy Abreu grand slam, and that sort of brought the hope, made it feel a little bit more legitimate, like it wasn't just a fluke. What was your guys' overall impression? Where do you want to start?
I'll go first. So I agree with you, Nick. Although I got to be honest, I think when Willy hit the inside the park home run, I kind of felt like this was going to be our night. But the grand slam definitely put it over the top. It made it a much better feeling and a much more legitimacy to the win. I mean, Willier today almost single-handedly beat the Reds because I think they scored. They got that cheapie, which made it 6 runs, but 5 RBIs, absolutely fantastic night for him. A couple of guys had 2 hits and drove in a couple of runs. And let's face it, like Crochet was just okay. Ironically, he got his first win at Fenway for the season. Didn't even realize that until I heard it. I almost threw up. But overall, feel pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jaron Duran's home run was awesome. Obviously, the inside of the park one was awesome as well. When the Red Sox can hit, they can do things. Like I'm like, it sounds so stupid, but it's like when they can do it, good things happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was just a very complete victory. As far as the offense goes, it seems like everyone chipped in. Trevor Story had that great home run, which was awesome. I mean, that entire first inning was just beautiful. I saw a few people, funnily enough, on Twitter who were posting about, I just tuned in late. What the heck did I miss, you know? And I told him, go back and watch. If you can, go back and watch, because it was truly something to behold. Nesson caught Jaron Duran whispering something to the guys on deck. It seems like in the very first at bat, he recognized that Burns was tipping his pitches somehow. And Burns had a pretty nice arsenal. He was consistently throwing very high velocity, but obviously The downside of throwing so hard is that you're sort of delivering quite a bit of power to the bats if they do hit it well. And whatever Jaren Durant saw and whatever he passed down the line, that kid got absolutely smoked. I mean, that was a heck of a welcome to the league, I would say. I think this was his second game this year. I'm not sure. I think his second game of his career. Very rough. Very nice to see. Everyone did have a hit tonight. I just wanted to double check that. And that's always nice to see when the whole lineup gets involved.
Did you guys hear that Duran covers his face because he doesn't want people to hear if they're tipping pitches?
Yeah, that's clever.
So, I mean, good.
Like, yeah.
You know, people were talking about that. So I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Just a huge night. You know, the defense was a bit iffy, and that's something that I think we need to talk about. Obviously, I see already Jules saying in the chat that Story made that error. I was thinking the same. I can't help but feel that if Meyer was maybe playing shortstop, we wouldn't see little things like that. It didn't influence the outcome, thankfully. But one little thing that I do want to point out about Crochet's off night is that if you go to a site like Savant and you look at the expected batting average, the Red Sox tonight had 14 hits, 13 runs on 14 hits, with a .294 expected batting average. The Reds, 7 hits, they have an expected batting average of .175. So maybe a little bit of bad luck for Crochet mixed with a bit of bad defense. Overall, not something to worry about, I wouldn't think. I would imagine he's going to settle in just fine after this. The Ks were still there, which was great. 9-6.
Yeah, I think he just wasn't sharp, right? There was definitely a mixture of probably some bad luck. And definitely, listen, the Sox don't have a good defense. Like, on their best night, they're averaging probably 1 or 2 errors a game, which at this point you take with who we're fielding. But, you know, we're going to be due for this. Every ace has an off night. And if on an off night, your offense can score 13 runs, I mean, we'll be cooking with gas at this point. The problem is that we're not accustomed to this, right? There have been moments throughout the season where the Sox kind of go off and have these types of games where they're putting up football scores. But it's been nice that I think there's been 2 in the last week where we've scored a lot of runs now here. It's nice that it was the first game of a series. It was nice to see Tito and Millsy, as well as Napoli, all in the ballpark, obviously. All a part of...
Millsy.
A part of Red Sox, you know, World Series, which we haven't seen in quite some time, as well as October baseball. So, a lot of positives. You know, I thought it was an interesting thing, and I didn't even realize that Abreu was the first player since Pokey Reese in 04 to hit an inside the park home run and a grand slam in the same game.
I think that's actually just a conventional home run. I think it's even longer if you add in a grand slam. I was trying to find that to see what the statistic on that was, but I wasn't sure. Someone said that it happened back in like the 60s for sure, but since then, I'm not sure. So, I mean, just an incredible feat. And it's nice to see Willy Abreu really picking up, not even where he left off, but sort of going back to that start of the season he had. It seems like coming back from the injury, he broke out of whatever slump he was in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was watching with my son, and when he hit his second home run, it was like, you know, we wanted to see him become that sort of power outfielder that everyone wants him to be. And he became it today.
Yeah, absolutely. He's leading the team right now in home runs. He has 16. Funnily enough, behind him is Trevor Story with 12, which it seems like Story just keeps managing to find a way. I think that if this guy is able to heat up, or I should really say stay hot, because the last 30 game sample size, he's been very good. That is a huge relief. I know a lot of people, rightfully so, quite honestly, were out on Story saying this dude's washed. He had a nice start to the year, but then that terrible slump right in the middle, it was ridiculous. I did not think that he would be able to sustainably come back and become a serious contributor to this offense. And I'm very happy to have him prove me wrong so far.
Yeah.
That goes with a lot of these guys, you know?
Yeah, no, and even Roman Anthony. I mean, I was down on him, you know, since the Devers trade, but someone pointed out on Twitter that he's actually batting. He's got a better batting average than Devers since the trade. I don't necessarily know if I would say he's had the bigger impact relative to wins, but it is nice to see him kind of coming into his own and finally starting to put it together at the plate. Some pretty good defense too, but he has the occasional mishap. I've been impressed with Meyer at the plate, specifically with his defense too. Another thing too that caught my eye is there was a couple of moments where the Nesson broadcast showed Bregman having conversations with Meyer, having conversations with Anthony, which was super encouraging to see. And again, I think, like, especially coming off of the Devers trade, right? Like, one of the biggest knocks that we had on Devers is that, you know, he wasn't necessarily a leader. He also wasn't necessarily vocal in trying to really, you know, be a rah-rah guy or a teacher to some of these younger guys, which was critical, especially with the amount of young guys that we have on this team now and moving forward. So, you know, I think Bregman, even though he's hurt, like, he's definitely building his equity and his stock with the front office to try and position himself well in making a case for a contract, regardless of his play, because of that leadership, because of that mentorship with all these young guys, especially if they, you know, pan out for the rest of the season.
And he's there.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he was there tonight and
he's hanging around.
Right. And it was, I mean, come on. It was a great game tonight. It was a fun game to watch. We don't have many of these right now. Right. It's like these one run games that we have. And, you know, again, tonight was an ass kicking, right? So we got it done and it was fun to watch. But he was there, you know, he was there. Bregman was there and you could see him. He was like, so let's get it on.
Yeah, he's been an impact on and off the field this year. And it's nice to have those guys because if they do get injured, which always happens in baseball, it's nice to have a guy who's going to hang around the clubhouse, who's going to be there, who's going to be an influence, root for guys. I think, what was it? It was a couple of weeks ago now, I'm pretty sure. But didn't he go and like mid-game shave his mustache to try to change the vibe of the team? Like in the middle of the game, it's great to see. I do love Bregman as a dude, as a player. He's been great. And we've been hearing more and more rumors about that extension. And one thing that I saw today, which is very encouraging, is that they say he's feeling very good. They're talking maybe about a return before the All-Star break. I wouldn't want him to rush back, but if this team can keep on just hovering around a wild card spot and make things uncomfortable enough for ownership that they're kind of forced to do a serious buy, I would love that, honestly. If there's a chance of that happening, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'd love to see it as well. But I mean, I think the three of us and most Red Sox fans, our expectations at this point is the acquisitions we will make at the trade deadline is Yoshida and Bregman. That's what happens every year, right? Someone goes down and they're just about to come back from injury right around the trade deadline. And the front office tells us, hey, well, it's almost like we made a trade getting this guy back. And this year they'll have the benefit of saying it. Hey, not only did we get Bregman, we also got Yoshida and that terrible contract.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I don't want to happen, to your point, but that's what they always give us is that, okay, well, hey, you know, we're getting these guys back. And it's like, no, give us like three dudes.
Yeah, I could see it now. This is Breslow's going to say something exactly like this. Hey, you know, we really looked at every option out there, kicked every tire, turned over every stone. And honestly, there was no move out there that was going to be nearly as impactful as bringing back Bregman and Yoshida. And we're just super excited to have these guys back. It's the best trade we could have made. Nope. Go Sox.
No. Go out and get a pitcher, frontline pitcher, right-handed bat, second baseman. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. And if they don't, this is the thing where it's like, I don't believe you anymore because they always talk. Yap, 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 yap. Nope, I'm done.
Yeah, it really does great. You know, that's been the story since 2022, I would say. You know, 2021, you had that wonderful Schwarber acquisition. And then since then, it's just been this soft buy, soft sell nonsense, exactly to your guys' point, where they try to say, oh, well, a guy's coming back from injury. 1 year it was Bogarts, 1 year it was JD.
Failed.
And there's no one else better out there that could possibly give us that. And that's just not true. Right now, there are some great bats out there. I know Toro, funnily enough, I mean, Toro had another pretty decent game. It seems like since I the other day bragged about, oh, I was right about him, he's been walking. He's walked 4 times in the last 7 games. I'm like, oh my God, really, dude? You had to prove me wrong. Maybe I should talk more junk. You know, Toro is not going to hit a grand slam tomorrow, you know, but it really is one of those things where there are guys out there. There are guys like Naylor, guys like O'Hearn who are out there. There is the idea with Yoshida coming back. Duran and Abreu are kind of in an arms race against one another to see which outfielder remains. One of them has to be traded. That's been the narrative for a very long time, going back to the last offseason. If we could roll a guy like Duran into a package for a guy like Mitch Keller, would we do that? Would Breslow be able to do something like that? Only time will tell. I am curious about this Bregman extension. What is he looking for? You know, what is he and his agent, who of course is Scott Boras, who is a terrifying force of nature to deal with? I don't want a 40-year-old Alex Bregman on the team, that's for sure. But if he's looking for a 6-year deal, we might be able to do that. And with Devers gone, I almost think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we have to bring him back. The question is what it's going to cost, how long, like how bad is the contract going to look? No matter what, I'm sure it's going to be a contract that doesn't age well towards the tail end. I think right now the focus has to be just mitigating the amount of damage that contract is going to be towards the end. But right now, I mean, we're so devoid of leadership and someone who's a proven winner on this team that everything you just said plus that, it's a foregone conclusion. You have to bring him back. I know there's a lot of Red Sox fans out there that are like, oh, the Red Sox have all the leverage. And if they were a well-run organization, I would agree. They probably would have more leverage, but this is the Red Sox. They will do everything in this situation to basically tip their hand, tip their cap, and Bregman's going to play it, right? And he's going to get every penny that he can, and we're going to probably pay it. I think an interesting question would be, assuming Bregman comes back at the timeline that we think, who's moving to second? Are we moving Mayer to second, or are we putting Story at second? What would you do?
I mean, the extension is one thing. The moving of the players is another thing. But I think you have to extend Bregman for the leadership role, and that's it. And then I think he needs to move over there, because who do you have at second base? We have no one in second base. It's been a revolving door. And I think you got, you know, I think you got Marcelo Meyer at second, at shortstop. And, you know, that's where you go with it. I mean, that's what we've been banking on for so long. So let's roll with it.
Yeah, I like the idea of Meyer playing short when Bregman comes back, moving Story over to second. Marcelo has just looked so smooth over on that left side of the infield. His arm is so, so nice. He's rangy, and in theory, he's the future. So I would very much like to see him settle into his natural position, hopefully his future position,
right,
for as long as possible.
Yep.
Story, this year, his defense has been a bit of a mixed bag. That being said, in the past, he has proven himself to be a very good second baseman. He played it there originally when he came to us, and Bogarts was the shortstop. I know, funnily enough, back then, there were some people saying that Bogey probably should have moved over to second, ideally. But right now, in a perfect world, Story, who already has his money, already has as much job security as he's going to get, I hope that he has the humility, I guess would be the right word, the team sort of drive to win and see all the guys around and play the best baseball they can, which everything I know about Story, I have no doubts of that character. No questions involving that. I would love to see him play second base full time there. And, you know, we can talk about what happens if Campbell's ready. Maybe he'll be the answer at first base. I think he's getting reps down there in AAA. But right now, Bregman, Meyer, Story, if Story keeps hitting like he does, if he doesn't, you can say Campbell. That seems like a pretty strong infield to me, and very likely is the infield we'll see opening day next year.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. I want your honest opinion on this, because there's a wrinkle to this whole Alex Bregman contract, right? That there's a fear that I have, and I'm sure other Red Sox fans have, because this is John Henry's team still, right? If the Sox, the rest of the season doesn't go the way that we hope it does, right? Which is, it's realistic, right? Like, we might finish somewhere mid, right? And certainly not playoffs or like right on the cusp and the outside looking in. Does John Henry take it the opportunity to say, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, his leadership's great, but like, you know, we're committed to winning and we didn't win. We have all this money for the Devers. We're going to wait and spend it on the right guy, but I'm going to save that $40 million, because let's face it, it's probably going to be somewhere in that $40 million a year. And then sell us on that, and then we never spend the money.
No.
You're not scared of that?
I am terrified of that.
Okay. Good. I'm not crazy.
No. Yeah.
Because, listen, you can trade Devers. All right. I get it. Rafael Devers was signed because he got John Henry got booed at a hockey game. Okay. That's why he was signed. And then he was like, oh, we gotta sign this guy. And you signed the wrong guy because you should have signed Mookie Betts. We all know this. And this is, I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole. We all know it. We all know it happened. That's the guy you should have signed. But you signed Devers. And now you know what's wrong, because he's a one-dimensional player. Listen, I love Rafi Devers. Great hitter. Can't field. Can't throw. Can't do any of those. You know, he's not a five-dimensional tool player. So, John Henry backtracks now and is like, all right, I want this contract out of here, and this is what we get.
Yeah, you know, they said that we are saving the money on Rafael Devers, and that was a huge part of the return. And in order for that to hold any water and carry any weight at all, we need to spend it. At the end of the day, this is not a salary cap league. You can spend as much as you'd like. Now, moving Devers in the middle of the season, I do believe will put us below the luxury tax threshold for this year, meaning we will have no penalties going into next year. We start with a fresh slate. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. And so because of that, we need to extend a guy like Bregman, because if you don't, then what is John Henry saving the money for? For himself, obviously. And that would be such a transparent, even though I do think that there's that certain level of greed with him, that certain level of lack of committing to winning, you know, that we'd like to see.
Right.
I really do feel like it would be such a transparent move. He wants to at least save face. So Nick, in order to save face, spend the money on a guy like Bregman, or if not him, some other impact player, whoever it would be.
Nick, do you remember when John Henry said, we can only sign three of those guys, which was Mookie Betts, Bogarts, and
Rafi Devers. Yeah,
did he say two
out of three or one out of three?
he said two out of three, and you signed one out of three, and you didn't even like that.
You're right. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It really is. You know, Heim Bloom, ushered in this era of Red Sox baseball, which the goal was sustained success, Rays-like success.
Exactly.
And we have had a whole lot of sustainability, but no success. We've been treading water, finishing 500, missing the postseason year after year. And right now, I'll say that we are very lucky that the rest of the American League is as weak as it is, having similar struggles to us. Looking, I think we're about 2.5 games out of a wild card right now. If we were in the National League, I feel like we would be so far behind, we'd already be committed to selling.
Yeah, and I think the problem with the Chaim Bloom era is, yeah, we were supposed to have this level of sustainability and replicate the Rays. We never even remotely came close to even trying to replicate the Rays pitching, right? Like, I will give Chaim Bloom credit that he did a good job of focusing on the positional players and bringing them in, which, you know, that was also part of the Rays' success, right? Like, you hit on the positional players, but you have to have the strength in the pitching, right? And have everyone that can just come in and do anything at any time. And we completely failed miserably at that part. And like, that's kind of half, maybe even more than half of what their success was and what helped them be sustainably good, despite having big contracts. You know, since we're on the Devers trade talk at this point, I do want to highlight the fact that Jordan Hicks did come into this game. He was a part of one of the pieces that we old dogs in the Devers trade. And, you know, to his credit, you know, it wasn't a high leverage situation, but it was a lot closer at the time he came in than what the final score suggests. Came in for an inning. I think he got a strikeout. He threw like 10 pitches, seven of them were strikes. So it was nice to see, because, I mean, listen, he could have come in and got lit up.
And gives us something, right?
Right. Like, something I'll hold on to anything.
Happy about, right? I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Like, honestly, like, it gives us something to be happy about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other two guys who are to be determined, Harrison's tweaking, trying to add a sinker or a cutter, or maybe both, to his arsenal down in AAA. You have the other outfielder we got. He's, you know, looking nice so far in his debut in AA for us. The nice thing about Hicks tonight, I went back and I really tried to watch every pitch. And the one thing I noticed was not only was his location very good, he was really operating in the shadow of the zone, really jamming guys in on their hands with high heat. He was throwing 100 miles per hour first pitch out of the gate. It snapped right into place. It looked nice. He was throwing 98, 99, 100 for most of his arsenal tonight, if not all of it. I'm not sure. And he looks like he could actually be a very dangerous piece of this pen. And what I kind of like about him being signed for 2 years right now is that that gives us an out. We don't need to sign Aroldis Chapman having a great year, but 37 years old. Maybe this isn't just bolstering our bullpen this year. It's helping to secure a potential closer for us next year as well.
Yeah, I think what was encouraging to your point is the location. He did not have any real high danger areas that he was pitching to. And the rub with him, at least to this point this season, is he's been kind of suffering from the same thing as Walker Buehler. Gets behind in counts early, feels like he has to pitch in the perfect locations. And in trying to do so, he ends up putting it in very high danger situations and areas, and he gets smacked around, right? And that's why his ERA is probably close to a 7, even despite his one inning with a strikeout and no one getting on. But, it was encouraging. So I'll give him that.
I got to tell you guys, I love Chapman this year. I mean, he is just absolutely nails on everything. And, I know he's had some personal issues. And I don't know where this team is right now as far as buying or selling, but like, he's been awesome to watch this year.
Yeah, Chapman, I mean, listen, if we fall out of it, he might be a great commodity to trade. I would take what Nick said a step further. If we end up finishing well and we end up holding on to him, just even if one of these guys emerges, I would still look to try and bring him in, even for another year or two contract at a reasonable deal. Because if things go sour again, he's a contract you can unload right. if he keeps up even half of what he's doing at this point. Because what he's doing now is like unearthly at his age, and relative to like the moments that he's pitching. And like, listen, to your point, Mark, yeah, he's done some things off the field. I always try to not mix the player and the person.
Right.
Sports, yep. sports. I don't watch sports to watch these guys be the best human beings. You know, I've got church on Sunday for that. I watch baseball to be entertained.
Yeah. You're right. Exactly. Within reason.
I mean, listen, I'm a New York Giants fan, so like Lawrence Taylor's my favorite player. Not a great human being, but one of the best defensive players ever. So it's what it is. Nonetheless, the point stands is that I think he's a commodity now, depending on how things pan out. And if we keep him, he could end up being a commodity going forward if we do turn this around and we win. Or if he, you know, again, you could bridge him to a point where he either helps you build something or you could unload him again like we could this year. So,
yeah. Agreed. And, you know, with Chapman and Hicks and also Alcala, we're adding a lot of velocity to this pen that the Red Sox pen has not had in a very, very long time, it feels like. And, you know, Alcala's been the most curious case, I guess, to me, out of those three, where he throws hard, but not necessarily well, but he doesn't necessarily have to, ideally. You know, if your biggest complaint about a bullpen is the middle relief, your bullpen's probably pretty good. And we're getting to a point where if you start to think about a pen that is Chapman, Wilson, Whitlock, Slayton, Weissert, Hicks, I mean, you're starting to get a lot of guys that I could see in high leverage. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about actually briefly just on Craig Weissert. I was a little disappointed to see him come out today just because we obviously ran poor Bernardino into the ground with his usage in May. And I voiced concern that we were doing something very similar to Weissert this month. He's been good this month overall. He had two bad games recently back-to-back, but he settled back down both yesterday and today. But 14 appearances in the month of June. Not all full innings, but that actually puts him at the second most games pitched in the MLB so far. That's just not sustainable. And for me, Weissert's not a guy. I mean, not to say any guy is a guy I want to see get hurt or get overused. But Weissert especially, I feel, had some pretty good upside. He looked great early on in the year. And I'm just getting really concerned about burning guys out, not just for the strategic element, but also the human element. You know, I want these guys to go on and have good years after this, and I want them to be around in October.
Yeah, no, it's a legitimate concern. I mean, even some of our starting pitchers, including Crochet, right? Like, there's been moments where you're like, man, this dude's arm might fall off before you even get to the trade deadline. And the bullpen's even worse, to your point. So, yeah, there's definitely concern there. I think to the things we were talking about before, right? Like if some of these guys, whether it's a Hicks, whether Whitlock can, you know, he shows moments where it looks like he's going to figure it out. And then he has an absolute dumpster fire of an inning or a game. And you're like, gosh, we take one step forward and three steps backwards with him sometimes. But if any of these guys can just kind of start to figure it out and these guys can emerge, it would do so much for this bullpen and the way it's been taxed to this point, you know, with a little bit more than half the season. So it remains to be seen how that's going to materialize for the rest of the season. But yeah, it's a legitimate concern at this point.
Well, I was looking at my notes and I have the Weissert notes. Walks, can't throw strikes. And then I have can throw strikes. So it's like
he settled in nicely. I mean? I'll give him that.
Yeah. I mean, he can do it. Like, right. But, no, yeah, to your point, it's like we need relievers to be strong and, they don't have to be perfect, but they have to come in there and like get the job done. That's it.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is going to just come down to, can the starting pitchers actually start games? Can right. they give us 5 to 6 innings consistently? If so, this bullpen, if maintained properly, kept fresh, given breaks, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. We just need guys like Crochet to keep being who he is, even in spite of the little stumble tonight. I've got no concerns about him going forward.
No.
We need guys like Bayo and Giolito, who have been making great strides in the last month, to keep on doing that. And great. Honestly, what I want to see more than anything is I want to see Richard Fitz come out and have a good game and give us some hope that when Hunter Dobbins comes back from the IL, it might not be Fitz leaving this rotation. It might be Walker Buehler. And I hate to say that about the guy. I love Walker Buehler, the man. But right now, he knows he's not pitching well. It's right. Tough.
Yeah, save him for October. I agree, Nick. Pending we're there. But, you know, I'd like to see Andrew Bailey help this bullpen come up with a plan. Because there's so many times that these guys come out and they're so concerned with not pitching to contact and they're trying to strike guys out that they don't only not strike them out, they give up hard contact or they can't even hit over the plate from 12 feet in either direction and they're putting ducks on the pond without any outs, without throwing even 50, 60% strikes from their arsenal. And it's how we continuously get into trouble, even when we're leading these games. I think about how many games we have lost this season where we have a two-run, three-run lead, sixth inning on, seventh inning on, right? And all of a sudden, you know, the bullpen comes in. They look like they're doing okay. They get a little shaky, and then all of a sudden it's an inning where maybe we have no outs, one out, and next thing you know, there's two guys on, and they hit a bomb, or they just can't get anyone out. And then they you know, they bring in another reliever, same thing, can't throw a strike. So they can't be so scared to have guys hit. You know what? If you throw a great pitch and the guy hits it, you tip your cap. Mm-hmm. But keep throwing great pitches. Stop trying to pick every corner. Stop trying to blow everything past people. And just, like, throw it over the plate. So many times I just say that, like, I'm watching it with my kids, and I'm like, please, just throw a strike. The bases are loaded. There's three balls. Just throw a strike. And it's 4 feet off the plate. And it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, that was Walker Buehler's problem. Not his last start, but the start.
Every start, Mark.
Just about.
No, truth. But like his last start, it was like I was watching with my son. It was like boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, dude, you can't throw a strike. And that's the problem. I mean, I don't care about ERA. Like, you gotta throw strikes and put the ball in play, right? And that's the problem. It's like it's not even close. It was like boop, 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 boop. And that's frustrating, to your point.
Well, you know, and I think that does put a little bit of egg on the face of the Red Sox front office, because it really does seem like you're asking for trouble if you have a starting pitcher named Walker out on the mound. That's your first thing, you know? It's just like the relief pitcher Scott Blewett. You can't have a name like that in baseball. I'm sorry. All right? I don't make the rules. You're spitting in the face of a god out there. It's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
We need more Cutter Crawfords, all right? Give me a guy named Slider and a guy named Splitter. We'll be fine.
One of the best names in baseball history, Dick Pohl.
Oh, absolutely.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, in Dick Fitz now, you had Dick Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, Dick a lot Fitz. Of great Richards in baseball history.
You've got Dickie giving the Yankees fits anytime he pitches against them. But, you know, it would be interesting, and it'd be a great problem to have. Crochet is going to be Crochet as long as his arm doesn't fall off. If Giolito and Bayo can continue to settle in the way that they have the last couple of starts they've each had, and all of a sudden now you've got Fitz coming back, Dobbins coming back, and if, God forbid, Harrison can even be half of what these guys have been to this point. Like, think about how quickly we could go from, man, we have nothing, to, wow, all right, we've kind of got a wealth and breadth of talent where if one of these guys falls off, we got other guys that can fill these needs.
Yeah. Right. And here's the other thing. I've been hearing rumors of like Trey Giolito. I am not down with that for 1 second. No way. He has been phenomenal. And I mean, unless you get something stupid in return, no way.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I think if we're sellers, Giolito makes sense just because it's true. We do have a wealth of young starting pitching when you look at guys like Bayo. Unfortunately, Crawford being out this year all year, getting that wrist surgery done, that really hurt. But, you know, we're going to have Sandoval coming back. Cheap deal, though, so it's not that big of a deal if that sort of burns out. But it's true, you know, if Harrison comes back and changes up his arsenal, and really, I mean, just imagine taking a guy like Walker Buehler, throwing a guy with a 4.5 ERA in his spot, how much closer those games are.
Mm-hmm. Is Giolito, he's in the final year of his contract with us, right?
I believe there's an option. I think it might be a mutual option next year, but I'll check.
Okay.
I believe it is too. I think he has an option this year.
Okay.
Even
with that said, I truly believe that Walker Buehler would actually bring back more, because I do believe that a team that's really out there in contention is going to look at Buehler, his stats in the playoffs, the way he pitched last year, and say, you know what? Boston's kind of been a train wreck for like a half a decade.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, we're in a position to win now. We know this guy is like tough as nails and can get it done in the biggest of moments. If they really believe it, like, they're going to gamble. And you'll get more back than a Giolito, where it's like, yeah, he's pitching nice, but is he really going to be the guy who takes your team over the top?
Yep.
You know, there's still the concern of him coming back from the injury that he did. Like, he might fall apart second half of the season. Whereas Buehler, I don't think those concerns necessarily are there. I think it's more of a, for us, there's a concern because he's not doing much for us. But for a bona fide winner, I think there's value.
I agree.
Yeah, and I do have it here. Right now, it's a $14 million team option, which will then become a $19 million mutual option with a $1.5 million buyout if he reaches 140 innings pitched this year, which he probably won't. So call it a $14 million team option. I'm actually a little surprised. In my head, for some reason, I thought Giolito was older than he is. He's only 30 years old this year.
Yeah, I think because he was missing for so long in baseball,
yeah,
like it's been forever since he had a good season. He seemed a lot older. All I know is that $14 million doesn't sound like a lot for a starting pitcher, but it seems a little rich for the Red Sox at this point.
Agreed.
That's fair. I mean, I guess, again, it could be a movable contract, but also it's going to come down to cheaper alternatives. Guys like Dobbins, guys like Early, you know, Connelly Early, who's doing well down there. There's a few more of those interesting names you see in AA and AAA as far as the starting rotation goes. It is possible that the Sox say, Giolito's not necessarily in our future plans. I do think if we end up selling, he's going to be gone for sure. Probably could net us something decent if the whole Yusei Kikuchi trade from last year, where Houston gave up a fairly large haul for Kikuchi, expired. He went off to the Angels. He's pitching there now. Teams get desperate around the deadline. We could use that to our advantage. Or we could very much see us being desperate. I really think the only way to know for sure is just to get there at this point and hopefully have a good record. I don't know.
Yeah, if we fall off, I would personally trade both and just get what you can get. Let the kids come back. Again, like the positional players that we're talking about, let the young pitchers, you know, gather and accrue that experience. Let them go through a second half of the season, kind of in and out of a quote-unquote playoff chase, and see what they can do. And with worst case scenarios, they don't make the playoffs, which at that point, if you're trading those guys, you don't expect it anyway. But it's at least experience where we have something to go into next year, hopefully.
Yeah.
I just hope that the Red Sox can develop pitching.
Yes.
At the minor league level, because that's been a problem. And I think that's why we haven't really gotten the ball rolling in the past 5 years, right? Because if you had it, I think you would do it, obviously. And it's like, shortstops are great, you know, outfield is great, all these, like, pitching, man. Pitching.
Yeah. That's been the big engine, I would say, that's been driving the Rays for so many years. They develop a lot of great young players, a lot of great pitchers. They take trash from other teams, they turn them into treasures. We tried to do that with a lot of guys, didn't quite work out. hopefully we can see some of these young names come up and make an impact. But right now I'm feeling pretty good with the position players we have, the young ones. You have guys like Anthony, yep, Meyer. I have faith in Campbell bouncing back. And so long as they don't follow in the Rays' footsteps of committing a federal offense, I do think that, you know, those guys are going to be big fixtures of our team for a long time. If we can use the money, if John Henry can dig deep into their pockets and buy just good pitching like they did with Crochet, use the assets we have, get another ace for this rotation, go out there, really build a juggernaut, I think you can do it. It's just a matter of, will they do it? I'm with you guys. I just want this to be a development year. I want to see the kids take a step forward. And anything extra, that's just extra. If we end up in a chase for the wild card, I mean, I'll say this right now. If we end up in a chase for the wild card, we better damn well get it. Because I do not want to buy selling off our valuable pieces and whatnot down in the minors and then fall on our face and finish 81-81 again. I really would just absolutely hate that.
I think, you know,
I'm putting my hand on my on my head because I don't want that either.
I don't think any of us want that. But the thing is, what I'm encouraged about, despite of what ended up happening, is in the wake of the Devers trade, I think the path is very clear for this team, right?
Yep.
It's abundantly clear. If we're in the mix in this AL, you got to do what you got to do to try and get that wild card, right? And if you're not, it's okay. We have assets to sell them, gather as many things as you can going into the future, and let the kids get the experience. And that's it. And you call it a developmental year and we move on.
100%. You know, Breslow might fall on his face being forced to eat the words of, we'll look back at the Devers trade and we won more games without him than we did with him. But that's Breslow's problem, not the rest of the organization.
Well, make the trades, trade other prospects that are down below and get better players. Let's go.
Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, this Reds series is going to be big for us. We have a chance to, once again, get to 500. And maybe if we get there again, maybe this time, guys, we'll stay above it. However many time is the charm. I don't even know how many times it's happened so far this year.
And here's the other thing. I get the Heim Bloom, the Craig Breslow prospect stuff. I'm tired of hearing about prospects, dude. I want to see studs on the major league field. I want to see dudes who can mash on the major league field. I want to see what happened tonight happen every night. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I want to see a juggernaut.
I was saying I would take it once a week. I don't know about every night at this point. But, I mean, every night would be great. But it's the truth, right? Like, I'm thinking about prospects too. I think the only thing I want to hear prospects of is the prospects of winning.
Yep.
Not players.
Yeah. You know, right now, this team, you could say that they had a crystal ball, but they didn't. No one knows for sure what a guy is going to be when they draft him in the first round. You saw, the name eludes me. Is it Vaughn, I think, who is the White Sox first baseman that was just let go, if I recall correctly?
Yes.
He was drafted right around the same spot as Meyer. It's, you never know at the end of the day. Yeah, Andrew Vaughn, thank you. You never know. So you could almost say that, yes, we drafted the right guys, but there's a lot of luck involved with that. We have been served a gorgeous little fortune of a guy like Anthony and a guy like Meyer. This team in a year's time could look very exciting if we don't mess it up. That is what Breslow has to focus on. Just don't mess it up.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you guys have any other comments, or should we just look at probable pitching for the next two games?
I just, I just don't want to hear about any more prospects, because you told me the ones coming up were the ones that are going to fix this thing. So I love the other prospects. That's great. Now is the time, Craig. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. That's
anything to add in, Chris?
No, I'm ready for the probable pitching. I agree with the sentiment at this point. Like, it's just, it's time to win and, like, just make it happen. I don't care what that looks like. Make it happen.
I mean, we have a shot these next two games, I would say. Tomorrow, we are looking at a 7:10 p.m. start time Eastern Standard Time. That is going to be Brady Singer for the Reds versus Richard Fitz himself. The next day after that, another 7:10 start, Nick Martinez versus Brian Bayo. How are we feeling about this?
I feel good. I very rarely go against Fitz. I think he's shown me enough to make me believe that he's more than the flip of a coin. He's pitched against much more, you know, adversarial teams than the Cincinnati Reds. But it also wouldn't shock me. This is the type of game where the Sox would get shut out after putting up 13 runs. But I will say that they will win. And you said the Bayo game is a night game?
That's right.
Get the brooms, fellas. Let's go.
Dude's a vampire. He's a vampire. Let's go.
You're going sweep, Chris?
I'm going sweep.
I'm going sweep, too.
I'm going sweep. I mean, how rare is that? You get a Bastards podcast. We're all three. It's a common consensus. We're feeling good. But honestly, the Reds, they're a wonderful, wonderful offense. Very fun, very young. They have a lot of fun players. I love De La Cruz so much. Did you guys see when he fell out of the batter's box tonight?
Yes.
And we caught him in a double play just narrowly. Despite swinging so hard, he knocked himself off his feet. He still nearly made it all the way down. He's wearing his shirt open. I love that dude so much. His swagger, his energy, his height. He's an awesome player. I love watching the Reds. But their pitching this year has been bad. Brady Singer, not looking great. Nick Martinez, good control. Not a lot of anything else. I think we can get these guys. And honestly, with the steps that Bayo's making, and like you said, Chris, Dick Fitz, I love these guys. Let's do it. Let's go out there. Let's sweep this. Get back to 500. And see what we can do versus the Nationals.
Absolutely. My son loves De La Cruz. He's tall.
Yep.
He's athletic. Like, he loves him. And we watched the game tonight, and he's like, this guy's awesome. But he also loves the Red Sox. So he's like, yep. Inside the park home run. Grand slam. Let's go. But
absolutely. Tonight was a fun game.
Just gonna love baseball, man.
Oh, yeah. Tonight was a very fun game. I think this actually has potential to be just a very fun series to watch, not even as a fan of either team, but just in general as a baseball fan. I think there's going to be a lot more of these moments here. We'll see. I mean, George White, absolutely right. Tito does not quit. That's his philosophy. He's got a fun group of guys. We'll see what they can do. It's not going to be easy to beat them, but I think we got this. So thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. A lot of fun to talk about, a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully there will be a lot more of that fun to be had for the rest of this series. My name has been Nick, once again joined by Mark and Chris. We have been the Bastards of Boston, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Take care, everyone.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.